All right, I'd like to call to order the regular meeting, the first one of the year, of the Water Wastewater Committee. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll calls are taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Yeah, while I look at the proper agenda. Is there anybody on the line?
Yes, Jason Coleman is on the line.
Jason Coleman does not get to talk during public comment. So just keep sitting there, man. All right, this is time for public comment. This is when, if there's anybody in the room, which there isn't, or if there's anybody online, which apparently there isn't, would have the opportunity to speak to the board about items that are not on the agenda. Once, going twice. Okay, let's move up to approval of the draft minutes.
Oh, I make a motion to approve the draft minutes.
And I will second that, and therefore the motion carries.
Go team!
No presentation. Oh, wait a minute. So we didn't have something in here that needs to be in here. Oh, no, yes, we did.
For a presentation, I know we didn't mark one down, but I think if we could have Anthony introduce one of his employees briefly, that'd be great.
Introduce him? Who doesn't know him? Go ahead, Anthony.
Hello.
Y'all probably seen this fellow. He's been with Discovery Baby Oli for 5 years, longer than me. Quite literally, he's been to the backbone of everything behind the scenes that a lot of times they don't see that credit, the things that we're doing good. Literally, I put the complaint box in his office, so I try to get all the credit and send the bad to him. But literally, I can't do my job at all. So I wanted to make sure that, one, that he gets experience of seeing how this works, how the process goes through. We'll bring him to one of the next board meetings when I have a presentation. At the same time, I want the town to be comfortable in Violi, not in one person, not in Anthony, not in Jeff, not in one. If something happens to me or whatever, Violi is still working for Discovery Bay, no matter who that person is. So that's my backbone. So this is Jeffrey Dobritz.
What's your last name, Jeff?
Dobritz.
You know, I speak funny, so.
I can't. The drawl kind of makes it sound like. I thought he said Doberman. I don't know.
You never know. So, very, very good guy with a lot of experience. He's literally keeping up the wastewater plants for you guys while I try to tackle the water plants. So, we've got a really strong team lately. So, if y'all wonder who he is, this is who he is. His office is next to mine. So, if you can't get a hold of me and need Violi in a hurry, come down here. Come ask. So.
Welcome. Appreciate I guess not that. Welcome. It's nice to meet you. We've been here a while.
Good to see you guys in the audience.
Good to see you again, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, when Anthony was out of town a couple of times, I don't know, some hole in the ground or something we were talking about. I'm not sure. Okay. anything else, Nina? Okay, grant updates. Do we have
Jacques?
Is Jacques on the line?
Yes.
Hello, Jacques. Waiting. Is he muted? Is he self-muted? Jacques, are you there?
Has he stepped away?
If there is not muted.
Can you see him?
I can see his name.
Oh, he doesn't have the picture up? It's not like a Zoom call?
Oh, he says the name as his
picture. So he's only on, like...
Oh, he's on the phone.
Phone, so maybe he stepped away, maybe?
Jacques, keep trying, because we want to hear what you have to say.
Unmute Jason, see if that
works. He's unmuted as well.
Okay.
Check that speaker. Just
make sure I didn't flip my computer.
Oh, our IT manager is going to do something. We're still here, Jacques, if you can hear us. We're just doing a little reset.
Give us a thumbs up.
We can't see him.
Can he comment?
See if you can go in the chat.
There's a chat.
Yeah.
You know what the path to the entrance is?
Jack, Mike, and I are able to hear each other.
But they can't hear us?
But we can't hear them?
We can't hear them.
Sorry, ask them to talk.
Can you speak now?
How about now?
Oh, we hear you.
Is that you?
Can you hear us now?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Wonderful.
That is amazing.
All right, Jack, it's your show. Go ahead, what you got for us?
Okay, well, first of all, a belated happy new year to everyone, and thanks for having Jason and I tonight. We've been working on grant opportunities for the town, and so let me just sort of hit a few highlights, and then we can ask answer any questions that you might have. We did look into some generator purchase grants that the town needs, for the water system, and we found out that the state board program that was offering those, it was only for disadvantaged communities, and that the pot of money for that that program closed out in December of 2022, but we did assess it and determined that it wasn't feasible to get a grant for that. But that leads me to the second update, which is we did work with the town in coordination with the East Contra Costa working group, that leads the multi-GSA regional groundwater effort, and we did submit a grant funding application to DWR that was submitted in December of 2022. And we did include some elements in the grant application that I can highlight for you that definitely serve your needs. The first is we put in some funding for sustainability and actually created kind of a regional account in our grant request so that GSAs could receive grant funding for generators. And so I think we have a pool, and certainly there's enough in there for the town to purchase with grant funds one generator, to meet the highest standards. So I think that's a huge plus. So we've kind of picked off that priority through the Sigma grant funding. But more importantly, we helped put together a regional groundwater modeling update that would allow Discovery Bay and other primary groundwater users to expand the current groundwater hydrology model so that it can tell you much more about, for example, water quality conditions, and it would have baseline information but also be predictive as to perhaps the magnitude and location of future water quality issues that the town would need to mitigate. And the reason why that project's so important is there is some groundwater degradation concerns, and by having much better groundwater condition and assessment information and tools through that model update, it'll help Jason kind of refine your long-term CIP plan so we can make sure that any investments we make in the water system, in particular through the well development element of your CIP plan, are going to be constructed for success. So in other words, if we have a water quality problem in a well and we need to rehab it or replace it, with this updated modeling information, it'll allow us to kind of make this well CIP budget a little smarter to make sure we have updated specifications and we can design wells that give you a long, reliable, useful life without any worries about groundwater degradation concerns or expensive compliance issues. So that was a $1 million grant request with no local match, and it's really focused on three or four of the GSAs, including yourself. So we're pretty excited about that. And those are kind of the highlights of the Sigma Round 2 funding application, like I said, that was submitted by the mid-December deadline to DWR. And DWR has indicated that they plan to be in a position to announce grant awards by June of 2023. And judging by how fast this year is already going, that's right around the corner. There is a possibility that we find out at least an inclination sooner. And so as soon as we start to get a read on how DWR is dealing with the application review process, we might know something before June. I do want to highlight with the Sigma implementation round two grant funding cycle that we just submitted the application in on your behalf. DWR did receive 81 applications with a $750 million in grant funding requests, and there's about $250 million available. But the good news is we helped put together the regional grant application so that it would be very competitive. So we're asking for between $5 and $6 million, which is on the lower end of what some of the applicants are asking for. So I think there's a good possibility that we can get at least most of the projects funded. But of course, we'll have to wait to see what DWR thinks and how they're going to deal with that. Another advantage I think the East Contra Costa Working Group has is this is our first bite at the apple for the implementation funding. So DWR has said that for applicants trying to get additional implementation funds who've already been awarded, they would take a back seat to those that are applying for their initial implementation grant funding request. So in summary, this is quite a big move for you guys because you're really in the middle of grant funding opportunities that are on a large scale that have a huge benefit to the town. So I'm just gonna pause right there. I know that was a lot, and this is kind of a verbal update. And if you want, I can share my screen and show you what kind of the overall funding request was through the Sigma process. But at this point, do you have any questions about anything I've talked about so far?
So it is a competitive grant process because there's more applicants than money, correct?
That is correct, and that's pretty typical of almost any grant funding program in California. Usually it's oversubscribed. But as I said before, I think the application was put together through the East Contra Costa Group to be competitive. The funding request is fairly reasonable. The projects are well articulated. And so I think we have a good chance for at least a lot of that application to get funded, but we'll have to see.
Okay, you have anything else, Lynn?
I don't. Thank you for the update.
Is that all you got for us? You got more?
And then the third one is I'm still talking to EPA about trying to get some of your well projects funded and any other water projects. So I should have more of an update for you on the EPA drinking water program the next time we brief you.
Fantastic. Well, appreciate all you're doing, and hopefully all that hard work will turn into cash.
Lots of cash.
I'm hopeful.
Thanks, Jocks. If that's it, then I just want to say hello, Jason.
Hello. Good evening.
I didn't mean to ignore you, but didn't realize you were on there until after I introduced Jock. So just want to say hello. Are you presenting something tonight?
I am not. I just wanted to make myself available in case there were any other related questions to what Jock had to present.
Oh, well, great. Thank you for taking the time, and we appreciate the presentation.
Absolutely.
All right. Moving on now to discussion items. Item number one is rock, paper, scissors, I guess. I'm not quite sure what we got here. No, actually, I've been the chair in this committee for the last couple of years, so I think you should be the chair.
Are you just going to pass the gavel to me?
Well, I've already done that. I'm really tired of passing the gavel to you. In fact, once I lost the presidency, I lost all my committees. I feel like Omar, whatever her name is, or I feel like Eric Swalwell getting kicked off all the committees, you know? Anyway, moving on, since I can be censured by the chairman if I don't shut up. I'm going to pass the gavel, so you
Thank
can run
you.
The rest of the meeting,
Wonderful.
Actually.
Wonderful. I'm taking it.
There you go. Symbolically.
Symbolically. So moving on to discussion item number two, proposal to amend ordinance number 7. Mike Urocka. Mike, are you available?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah, we can
yes,
hear you.
Yes, sir.
I'm on video, I think. You can see me as well.
Oh,
now
we can.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, everybody. Okay, so all new homes, as you're probably aware, that are built in Contra County are required to have fire sprinklers installed above the ceiling at each floor, even the multi-story house. And the problem that presents is that a lot of the times that the water in those fire sprinkler pipes becomes stagnant, and over several years can be basically become contaminated water. And so there are water quality laws that require the town to protect the water system from sucking in potentially any bad water back into our system. And we do that with the use of a backflow prevention device. It's a double check valve that's been typically installed at the water meter. The solution to that problem is to have those fire lines flushed on a regular basis. But unfortunately, the homeowners typically don't flush those on a regular basis. But one solution that a lot of cities and other districts have come up with is they connect the end of the fire line to the water supply for the toilet. That way, anytime a resident flushes their toilet, they're drawing the water through the fire line. And that fire line, it does come from the water meter that's basically up in front of the house, our water meter. Because it's being done on a regular basis, it keeps those fire lines flush adequately enough to where we would not need to have that backflow device at the water meter. The advantage of that for the town is that when it is a backflow device, there's a cost associated with maintaining that backflow device and every year and making repairs and filling out reports and sending those reports to the state. We've spoken with the Contra Costa County Fire. And they're on board with this process. They're very familiar with it. They say it complies with all the national fire protection standards. We've spoken to the county building department. They are also on board with this concept. They are aware that other jurisdictions are doing this, that they are connecting the fire lines to one toilet on each floor, or sometimes there's like a loop system where we only need to connect the fire lines to one toilet in the house if there's multi-story. And so the ordinance change that we have before you takes all that into consideration. So that's what we have before you, and we wanted to run this by you before we took it to the board. Basically, it's going to be a long-term cost savings for the town by not having to operate and maintain these backflow devices every year on these houses.
If we had to put in backflow devices, they would be at the meter, so that would be our responsibility. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
You can't put it any, you can't put it up any closer, anywhere in the, after their main.
Backflows are typically installed closest point of connection at the meter.
And these, this ordinance is for only new homes, is that correct?
Correct.
So there's nothing on homes that are currently with this system that we have to do.
That's correct. Only if for some reason, let's say there's a major remodel of a home and the county says, oh, you have to put in a fire sprinkler system because you're basically rebuilding this home, then because they're putting in a fire sprinkler system, we would require them to tie the sprinkler line to the furthest toilet on their property.
Our commercial customers pay for their own backflow devices right now, correct?
Yes.
So why wouldn't we pass an ordinance that says that?
We could.
It would be the responsibility of the homeowner, but I guess it'd be kind of in the middle of that, it'd be kind of.
You could, but then you have a headache of checking up on 300 homeowners, making sure they get their backflows tested annually every year.
And with this, we could just do it remotely, basically?
There is no backflow with this, what he's presenting.
As long as it gets hooked up to a toilet, the furthest most toilet or whatever, I read it, I can't remember what you said now, but you don't need the backflow device because there's an automatic flushing that occurs because it's going to move that water through the pipe when the toilet,
every
when that
the toilet's
flushed.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is that, okay. So go ahead, I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
We do have the ordinance that will be checking that that's indeed connected to the toilet.
Right, so that would be the best ordinance and the easiest for everybody and the cheapest for everybody is to say, okay, when you put in a new home that's got mandatory sprinklers, and we knew this was coming, right? Then it will be, it'll have to be hooked up in this matter, period, or it doesn't yes. get signed off. Now, do we sign off on that, or do we make that a condition of construction, and therefore the county has that in the plans that are submitted, so that they would check on that, or do we have to somehow go inspect at a certain point in the construction
progress? Yes, you're correct. There is a provision in this proposed ordinance that we would go and inspect during before the sheetrock goes up.
Well, that's interesting. It's going to throw a little bit of a scheduling issue. And the bottom line is the same thing that happens when the county gets in there is that if they haven't called us, they got to tear the sheetrock out.
They call us out there. I got to inspect the water connection and the sewer connection as well. So I already.
So you're already going out there.
I'm already going out there inspecting. Now I'm just going out there for one more, checking one more thing.
But exterior doesn't necessarily always have the same timing as the interior.
Correct.
That's the only thing I'm thinking about. Okay, very good. Good presentation, Mike. Anything else for us? Oh, sorry.
No, that's it.
It's gonna be hard for him to let go.
Strike that. Ashley, go ahead.
Thank you, Mike. Anything else for us? So do we, the only action, do we want to recommend this
well,
to go to the board?
Is everything in red what we're talking
what
about? I do have one comment about that. And that's nothing personal, but 37.04.04 says without prior written approval from the general manager, and I'm wondering if that shouldn't say from the town of Discovery Bay, because if the general owner's on vacation for 2 weeks, or I mean, the authority really on other things like we're talking about earlier today, your authority is over it.
So maybe we just add or designate.
Or designate, or just
yeah.
or just approval from the town. I mean, the town's what's approving it. It's the town's water system. However you want to do it. I'm just wondering.
Think about okay.
Yeah. That's the only thing, only comment I have. And
so typically if I go on vacation, then, you know, Alan was next in charge and he would be my designee, and he would, you know, if something like this happens when I'm out, he would
be the one to do it.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but we could
think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess the recommendation would be to bring it to the board with the changes on what we just said, 37.0404, correct?
Bring it to the board. I would say that the committee approves the presentation, approves the language, with taking into consideration a review of that, however it comes out. We don't need it back again to look at it. But the committee agrees with this and recommend the board approve what we have reviewed in depth. Now, is Mike going to give another presentation at the board?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mike. We're good on that. Yeah. Okay, moving on to discussion F3, East County Water Management Agreement.
Okay, so Director Porter, you're on the East County Water Management Regional Committee. So you know a little bit about this, but what they're trying to do, and let me just tell a little bit about this group. This group covers all aspects of water management within the region, drinking water and supply and quality, wastewater, recycled water, flood control, stormwater, and watershed and habitat management. Around our general area, so the individuals that are part of this community that we're in is City of Antioch, City of Brentwood, Byron Bethany Irrigation District, Contra Costa County Flood Control, Delta Diablo, Diablo Water, who is spearheading this project. Dan Mulrath is actually the lead. Discovery Bay Community Services District, East Contra Costa Habitat Conservancy, East Contra Costa Irrigation District, and the City of Pittsburgh. So we're all part of this water management group. And what we want to do is do an amendment number 2 to the amendment number 1. And you can see in part A, the recitals, the changes that we would like to make, or this group would like to make. And that major change is if a board of director cannot be there to do a vote, they would then send the vote through the general manager or their designee, so.
And this was discussed at our last meeting.
It was.
Because the problem that they were having was it was like typically the general managers are able to make it to these meetings, but it was hard to get a quorum of voting board members to attend. So the discussion would be, since the general managers are typically in contact with the board members, mm-hmm. that they would be able to voice their vote for the board member. Mm-hmm. And that way we're moving forward with what needs to be done on that committee rather than having it at a stalemate.
Is correct. We will be bringing this item to the board for approval because there is a resolution that needs to go along with this. So we would just like your approval to move it forward with the board.
Just out of curiosity, how come we're not listed anywhere in any of these signature pages? We're not on any of them. They're all copies of the same thing with different signatures on them, but like you got a bunch of page 5s, but they don't have it. You got a bunch of page 6s, and you got no page 7s. But maybe we're on another page.
So we are.
I imagine that we have a, well, so you're exactly right, Ashley. And we did actually have this, this came through internal ops earlier today. So I, second time I've had a chance to see it.
Yeah.
And I do want to just add.
Right here, page 15, Discovery Bay. Page
where? 15.
Yeah, we're there. Right there, my friend.
Oh, we have our own page.
We have our own page.
I didn't get back to that. Anyway, so also, the important thing here is that if a board member can't make it because of the timing, it is can be challenging for all of us. We have a voice at the table. That's really what's important. So if something's trying to go by that may be affecting us, we now have the authority, or that our representative would have the authority to be able to speak on our behalf and say, hold, time out. This is not something that I think is going to be good for, you know, and ask for it to be held over or whatever, depending on what it would be. And it probably will never happen, but I think it's a great idea.
I think the other thing that's important about this is that, like, even having these meetings were held up for several years because they couldn't get everybody at the table. So it's important to have them. It's important that we are working together. If that can't happen because board members can't get coordinated enough to get there, then at least the general managers need to be having those discussions. Mm-hmm. And bringing it back to their boards. Okay. So we agree, we're gonna bring this to the board.
I think it's a good idea, and I think we should recommend that the board approve it.
Okay, wonderful. Moving on to discussion number 4 regarding sewer system management plan. It looks like it's an Aaron Anthony duo presentation.
We'll have Anthony come up.
I read it real quick.
committee. So, the Sewer System Management Plan, or SSMP, is a 5-year document, basically. It's required by the state, and it's basically proving to the state that we have the entire collection system or sanitary sewer system under proper maintenance, proper inspection. It is tracking basically how many miles of pipe we have, our SSO responsibility, things like that, our assets. This year, or the last time this was revised was 2018, so we're on the 2023 is the 5th year. In this case, we met with the town because this is a town's document. Veolia supports it with the data. And as you know, our collection system in the next 5 years is probably going to grow with, we've got Fantasia, we've got Newport Point coming in. Maybe with any luck, by the next time we revise this, we may have some of Chiquini coming in. So we thought it best this time to go ahead and do some minor changes, contact information. Most of the system itself hasn't had any severe changes yet. However, in the next 5-year span, we're going to have some drastic changes. So, per the ordinance or per the SSMP, it does require to come before the committee, even though we did minor changes to make sure y'all are okay with those. Basically, the real edits were contact information between Veolia, the town staff, the new general manager, the placement of our hazardous chemicals, or basically the portable generators we have meet county specifications and hazmat requirements. At the same time, recertifications of all the invalids. So this document, if the committee approves, will be uploaded and revised through the CWIC system, which is a statewide program. But I need y'all's approval to do that, to bring out the town of Discovery Bay and Veolia to current. So.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
Not yet, but I'm not going to.
So it's essentially just updating everything that was in there previous to 2023 standards, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's, we have to do that for the state requirements, correct?
It's no different than, NPDES annual permit, our EAR permits, basically our annual report. This one is specifically more or less on the collection system. So the state is heavily tracking the treatment plant, which we do monthly and annually. Same thing with the water side, but this is particularly the collection system. So
in my brief purview of the document, it looks to me like most of it was just cleaning up language or being a little bit more specific about process, and most of it was just change of technology, making the language fit the new technology.
Correct.
Okay.
And a lot of the wording changes is so that if a personnel changes, we don't have to revisit, change the whole document for one person or one contact. It leaves it with Town of Discovery Bay or Veolia.
There's no real substantial changes, though.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
So then our recommendation to confirm with you, Kevin, would be to bring this to the board for approval.
I would agree.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
Do we have anything else?
I do not.
Okay, any future discussion agenda items you'd like to add for our next meeting?
You had one, but you didn't bring it. But they're already finished. They're doing it already. So remember, I said valves.
Yeah.
So we do have a we do have. When we had a service break, and it just happened to be around the corner from my house, so I got, so I saw it. Stopped, talked to both Anthony and Gary about it, and there were several valves that are not operating properly, and it seemed like a good time apparently to do something about it because they were out there digging it up this morning. So Aaron, you want to give us an update on that?
Yeah, so I'm just going to let you know what's going on with the valves. It's nothing new. It's something that's been going on with the valves for a long time, since for as long as I've been.
The beginning of time.
Yeah, so we have, I couldn't, thousands of valves out there. We have 500 hydrants. Each hydrant has a valve. They're all buried 3 feet to maybe possibly 15 feet in some spots. And when they were installed with susceptible metals. So they don't have stainless steel hardware on them. And so the soil eats them And so when we have to go do a repair, when we go to turn that valve will break and pop and do all kinds of weird stuff. So right now what we're doing to fix that is make sure we have the proper hardware, wrap it in mastic, put plastic around it, put some cathodic protection on it, and stuff like that. So sometimes we don't know the valve's gonna break until a half hour in, and all of a sudden we look back at the intersection and it's filled with water. So it's one of those scenarios.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it really makes a great day.
That's
really
funny.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I imagine as you find more of them, or you start to identify the ones that need replacement, you may see a pattern and be able to put together a maintenance schedule just to go in and do it. So we're not waiting until an intersection floods in order to make that happen.
Yeah, it's better to have a planned shutdown repair versus an emergency
shutdown
repair.
Like when you have to go under a wall and replace it, go to school or something like that. One of those kind of deals, you mean?
Yeah.
And as you know, for the last couple of years, Ashley and I have been both pushing together proactivenesses instead of reactiveness, and we don't want to kick things cans down the road anymore. We want to get these things fixed. So, thank you.
Perfect.
For that.
Thank you. Thank you for the update. Well, if there's nothing else, I'm going to close the water wastewater meeting at 6:06.
Wow, you really.